did not like the Apostle Paul. And I don't say that, of course, to flatter myself. I say that to tell you that I found it quite concerning that the Apostle Paul felt free to boast and to talk about all these things that he had done. And I couldn't understand how it's so clearly a sin for me to do this, but why God would have somebody in the Bible boast. How can this be okay for the Apostle Paul to boast? How can the Holy Spirit tell the Apostle Paul to boast and to do this in God's Word? It did not seem to me to make any sense whatsoever. And that's what we need to explore a little bit together today. You know, if we pray to the Lord, we usually don't say, Lord, I'm thankful for me. I'm thankful for all the great things that I do. I'm such a quality individual. This is not the way we pray. And yet we read here in verse 17, in Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God. Isn't this a sin problem in the Apostle Paul, we might ask? And we might say, well, you know, the things that we ought to glory in Jesus Christ in would include things like God's power to transform us, God's forgiveness of sins, God's creation of the world. There are many, many things that we praise God for. But do we really, and are we really supposed to glory in what God has done through us? And that's really the key, isn't it? Paul here is not writing and saying, I'm boasting because I'm such a great person on my own. He's writing, letting us know, I am glorying, I will boast because of what Christ has done through me. And consequently, I submit to you that the apostle is giving us an example of an area that we ought to praise God for, that frankly, for many of us, we're a little queasy about, a little uncomfortable with saying, you know, I'm going to give God thanks for the way that he has used me to be a blessing to other people. And if you're a little unsure about that concept right now, that's okay. I don't mind that. I think that there is something there that we're a little uncomfortable with. But I want you to see that that's what the Lord calls us to. Actually, to glorying in what he has accomplished through us. What he has accomplished through us. Now, that's where the passage begins, right? Paul, in essence, if you back up just a verse into verse 16, that he's glorying in the grace given to him by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Now, remember, in the broader context of Romans, this section of Romans is kicked off by Romans 12, 1 and 2, right? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, see, I learned this one in the King James, but at a young age, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, in view of God's mercies, to offer yourselves a living sacrifice. And here he's saying, God in his grace has used me to help Gentile communities to offer themselves as living sacrifices, to be made acceptable sacrifices to God. Now, once again, this is something that we might struggle in. We could rejoice in the fact that other people have become Christians. We rejoice in seeing what Jesus has done and is doing around the world. I hope this is true for you, actually, that when you ponder the work of God around the world, you know, sometimes people talk as if the church is in so much worse shape than it was in the book of Acts. Well, that's frankly not true. As we start in the book of Acts, you just have this small band of believers huddled together, scared for their lives, locking the door. And then the church certainly expands, but it's still a very limited scope. Just a small corner of the world, even by the end of the book of Acts, has even heard the gospel. Think about the fact that right now, and in this day long before we got up, people around the world have been worshiping God. And there aren't 100 believers. There aren't even 100 churches or 200 churches like maybe there are in the book of Acts. There are a few million churches, at least, around the world. Locations all over the world of people praising God. And so we praise God for His work, but also Paul is saying, not only do I praise God that there are others praising God, but I praise God that He's allowed me, the Apostle Paul, in some way to be a part of this process. And he actually uses here in the ESV the word proud. I am proud to have been a part of this work. And the New American Standard, I have reason for boasting in this. And the New King James, I glory in this and what God is doing. Now, here's the question that you need to consider. If God does a good work, and something is truly the work of God, we know it's good, right? We know it's glorious. And if it's the work of God, do we as believers have the option to say, I'm not going to give thanks for that? No, we don't. No, we don't. And so actually, if God uses us, and that's praiseworthy, then we have no option but to praise God, just like Paul has done here. So, and we'll spend more time on this in a minute, you can start asking yourself, how has God used me in His world? Now, of course, what Paul is talking about here is not separated from the grace of God at all, is it? He's not saying, I'm thankful because of me, because I'm such a great person. This is not an atheistic, concern that the Apostle Paul is raising. It's not a humanism of, boy, I am such a great... the more I think about it, the more I just realize I am a pretty good fellow after all. No, that's not his point at all. He says, in Christ Jesus then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God, for I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me. However, notice that he does say Christ is working and has worked through me. I think that sometimes in our concern as Reformed believers to make sure that we get the doctrine of total depravity right, that we want to make sure that nobody would make any mistake that, that we've ever, that God's ever worked in us at all. I'm just a slime bag here. It's kind of the view that you hear many people saying and articulating. That's not what the Apostle Paul is saying. The Apostle Paul is upfront about his personal history, about his struggles and persecution, but he also recognizes that Jesus Christ is powerful enough to change people. Even him, even me, even you. And to take people who were enemies and to make them not only just infant children in his house, but actually useful members of his family. And so Paul rejoices and says, Christ is using me. Now specifically, Paul rejoices because Jesus Christ has used him to bring about a conversion of Gentiles. Notice verse 19. From Jerusalem to Illyricum. Now, Illyricum, you can identify now with me for a minute. Because you all tell me all these places you're from around here. And, to get here, we drive through this town. And, it sounds great to me, but I know I'm in Sterling and I know my plane leaves from Wichita. And those are about the two communities I'm familiar with. And I got to go to Chicago, which is, I know where that is on the map. But all these places you're talking about, I don't know. Now, you don't know where Illyricum is, I bet. Well, Illyricum is on the western coast of Greece. It's that portion. Now, why is he talking about Illyricum? Well, what he's doing is he's talking geographically. And I'll do this for you guys, working the way that the map would work for you. So Jerusalem and Israel are over here. You go around the top of the Mediterranean Sea, right, the north shore, and you're working your way through Macedonia, southern Greece. Illyricum, that's the extent of where Paul has proclaimed the gospel message. And if you keep reading, in the next several verses, he's going to talk about, I'm coming to Rome in God's grace. And then from there, I believe God is sending me on to Spain. So see how Illyria comes important because it's it's geographically the progression that he's working through. And Paul says, look, I can look at the map and see progression of the gospel, not because I'm such a great guy, but because Jesus is at work through me. In essence, Paul is saying, I'm willing to do what Clarence did for George Bailey, and It's a Wonderful Life. George, this is what the world would be like without you. And Paul says, look, this portion of the world, God has seen fit to evangelize through me. Now, how do we apply this now to us? Well, one danger would be to say, God used Paul to proclaim the gospel to unreached people, and therefore, all of you are called to go and minister to unreached peoples. And certainly, there's a gospel priority in the scripture. However, within the context of Romans 12, 13, 14, and now 15, Paul is talking about the different gifts in the body. And we actually know from other things that Paul wrote that he did not think of his own experience, his own gifting, his own calling as normative. What I mean by that is Paul, for instance, tells Titus, the church in Corinth needs help. Now, Paul can't go back to Corinth because that's not the call that God has placed on his life. He's supposed to go to unreached peoples. But he tells Titus, you go. You minister to these people. Timothy, the church in Ephesus needs some help. You get over there and you go. So Paul's experience and his example of going to the unreached peoples may be something that God calls you to. We would look at Vince Ward. We'd look at the Pharisees as people who have been called to go to an unreached people group. Others of us are not called to that. However, and we'll circle back to what God's called you to. However, Paul's experience and example of glorying in Christ working through him is normative. Right? If an apostle is doing this, Paul would shudder for us to say, oh, well, the great apostle Paul, of course you can do that. You're an apostle. You're wonderful. We are just spiritual pygmies. No, the apostle Paul would say, no. You too join me in glorying in Jesus Christ and in the ways that he is working through you. He would say, along with Jesus, right, that Jesus is the vine and we are the branches, and that as we abide in Jesus, that Jesus will allow us to bear fruit to his glory. Once again, if there's fruit coming out of your life that's the product of Jesus working through you, you can't look at that fruit and say, it's no good. You have to say, I praise God that this fruit, by God's grace, is coming through me, that God is willing to use me in this way. So once again, we come back to the question, how is Christ using you? For some of you, you need to glory that Jesus Christ has called you to minister his word to the often savage people who happen to come into your family through the birth canal. That God is changing these children through the ministry of our family. Praise God. Wow. How many times do we mess up as parents, and yet God still is willing to use us in the lives of our children to build them up to be pillars in his church. Isn't that wonderful? Maybe you can look back and say, there's people who have come through our church and or in our community. And, I'm not the best evangelist, but there are some people who have had serious losses People have really been deeply hurt. And I don't always have great things to say, but somehow, you know, when I come alongside them and put my arm around them and just let them know, I'm praying for you, I love you, they come back to me and say, you know, that was really helpful to me when I was having a difficult time. Praise God. God, through the power of the Holy Spirit at work in you, it's not an unreached people group, it's not some aborigine, but it's your friends here in Sterling who are being blessed through the work of Jesus Christ in you. God's giving you a sensitivity to other people. Maybe there are projects that you've been able to be a part of, physical projects at the church. And it's, sometimes it's easy, well, those aren't really important spiritually. Oh, yes, they are. Oh, yes, they are. If the church building's falling around, down all around us, you know, if the lights aren't changed, if the floor doesn't get vacuumed, that's a distraction to us when we come to worship, isn't it? And so even by vacuuming the floor, you can say, praise God, God, by allowing me to serve in this way, has allowed other people to focus on Him instead of those little pieces of paper that our kids drop all over the place, right? At least if your kids are like mine, you know, you get all these little sprinkles around. So you are called to actually glory, and you're called to glory because Jesus Christ is working through you. Now, if this is true, if we really see Jesus working through us, if we say, wow, that's neat, that's really amazing, I praise God for that, then that, by definition, will set our priorities and will refocus our priorities. See how Paul does this? See? He does this here at the end, verse 20. And thus, I make it my ambition, having seen what Christ has done through me, you know what my goals in life are? My ambition is to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. So in other words, he's saying, having seen the way that God has wired me, having seen the way he's worked through me, I now realize, and am impacted to know what he wants me to do. And so therefore, I make it my aim, my ambition, to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. Now, here's where we love, this next verse is so important and so helpful to us. You know why? Because we have an inherent, as Reformed people, distrust of verse 20. Because we don't trust experience. Right? But we say, well, Paul, you're sounding a little charismatic here for us. You know, you're saying that you've seen God use you in this way. You're encouraged by that. But where's the scriptural evidence? Paul says, I gotcha. Verse 21. Those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. Paul takes us to Isaiah, right at the end of Isaiah 52. And he says, this very calling on my life, the way I see God using me, it's not something I made up. It's something that God foresaw and foretold before the birth of Christ, before even the world began. God's plan was that Gentiles all around the world, and for him specifically, from Jerusalem to Illyricum on to Spain, God's plan has been that these people would know and praise Jesus Christ. And so my experience actually is confirmed by the Word of God. Now, how's that fit then for us? Well, once again, you may not find your particular calling and going to the ends of the earth. You know, you might not be called to Irian Jaya. You know, you might not be called to minister in South Sudan. However, that doesn't mean that you should not find assurance and comfort from hearing and from seeing in the Word of God areas and verses that point out that his priorities are in fact the same as the ways that he's using you. Paul here is not embarrassed to say, in essence, there are some verses in the Bible that God has used to direct me and my life mission more than other verses in the Bible. You know, there are many, Paul's not saying that certain verses are less inspired. He's just saying this is a verse that really God has used to define who I'm supposed to be and where I'm supposed to go. Now, the challenge for that then for us is to step back and say, where has God used me? How has he gifted me as a member of the body? And I'm not going to take personal credit for that. That's a cause for praise to God, right? I praise you, God, because I've seen you use me. I'm so thankful that you, because it has to do with your power, God. And actually, if I see God use me, it tells me more about God's power than if I see God use you. You know why? Because I know how bad I am. Right? And so if I see God can use me, wow, that's terrific. So we begin by praising God, and we praise God because he's working through us, through the work of Jesus Christ. And that then shapes our priorities. And we can confirm that then in the scripture. Now, to put a little bit more legs on that, as individuals, as families, as a house last night where they have this on the chalkboard, as families, God wants us to look to his word for our marching orders. What are the key verses that define who you are and that define your mission, your calling in life? And it's not necessarily, it might be the ones that God used for the Apostle Paul, but it might be something completely different. See, the Apostle Paul goes to the scripture, and we need to help our children in this too, don't we? Helping them see places where God's using them, and even pointing them to verses and say, you know, this verse really seems to fit with who you are and the ways that God's using you. I think within the family of believers, we need to do this for one another. You know, I saw a verse this week about hospitality, and it reminds me of you and the way that you live and conduct yourself. I saw a verse about somebody who's, you know, describing how we're to share with one another. You know, you're very generous with your things, that sort of thing, and that can be very, very helpful to us. That can shape us and mold us as believers. We do that for our kids. We do that for one another. I would urge you, couples, that you should do this for each other. Especially, you know, there are a lot of kids in this congregation. That's wonderful. Especially for mothers, it's very easy to just be overwhelmed with the day-to-day. And it's not day-to-day, it's the second-to-second demands on your time, right? You know, you have the next 15 minutes planned with 30 things to do if you're a mom, always, right? Well, moms need somebody else often to come along and say, I've got some perspective for you on the ways God's using you. Because sometimes they're so down here in the picking up the toys and getting the sticky stuff off the linoleum that it's hard to see that. So, here's where we are. God calls you to boast. And it's not a boasting in yourself, but to boast because Christ is working through you. And to step back and say, how is Christ using me? And then having seen that, to say, God has made clear at least some of the areas and some of the reasons why he put me on this earth. And then to allow that to shape future priorities. God did this for the Apostle Paul. And God allowed the Apostle Paul, of course, to have incredible usefulness in the kingdom of God. And may God, in his grace and mercy, spur us on to love and good works, to glorify Jesus Christ as we see the ways in which he is using us to be a blessing to one another and others in the world as well. Let's pray. Our Lord God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the challenges of your word. And Lord, we struggle often to praise you adequately and to praise you rightly for the ways in which you have used us and the ways in which you have actually blessed us by gifting us and making our gifts useful in your kingdom. And so, Lord, we would pray that you, but yet in a boastful way, to glory in what Jesus Christ has done through us. And then, Lord, would you allow that to spur us on to even greater usefulness in your kingdom, even as you did for the Apostle Paul. We thank you for this passage. In Christ's name, amen. All right, we're going to sing now Psalm 78, selection A. Psalm 78A is a psalm that, as we think about God's God working in the world, so often his plan is to work through, of course, families and through generations. And in Psalm 78, you can count the generations, and you can see that God has more than just one generation in mind. You know, it's a, listen up, you my people, listen. Listen up, I'm going to speak some things to you. And the things I'm going to speak to you, verse 3, are things that have been told to me by the prior generation. You know, these are things I didn't make this up. This came from faithful teaching from the fathers before. But it doesn't just stop with me. I'm going to teach it, stanza 2, verse 4. I'm going to teach it to my children as well. And it doesn't stop there, but the age to come as well is in view. So we have a generational covenantal view of God's word being passed down in Psalm 78, selection 8. Let's stand together as we sing Psalm 78.